Hello, everybody. I'm Bill Buckmaster, along with Tom Fairbanks on the other side of the glass. And Tom, the chances for rain look pretty darn good for next week.
Next week, yeah, we're looking, yes, I agree.
We got to get through some of the, another heat advisory, maybe up to 108, but we'll get through it, and then it will start raining, and hopefully it won't be like those initial storms we seem to be having every year that are so destructive and seem to be parking over the Buckmaster Bungalow. It is Friday, June 27th, 2025. Buckmaster and the Green Thing, Zocalo Village Studios. We're part of the Bustos Media growing presence here in town. Got five radio stations under one roof. This one's 1030 KVOI, Tucson's trusted voice for live news talk. And of course, we're now at the 14 and a half year mark for our radio show and nearly four decades of participating actively in Tucson media. Have our worldwide live listening and all of our shows available. You can listen to the show live at buckmastershow.com. If you miss part of the show, it's all available. Usually get our podcasts up by about dinner time, somewhere around 5 to 7. Buckmaster Show Live Line for our telephone interviews presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Our media partners, big shout out on Friday, Tucson Spotlight. And the founder is my co-media host today, Caitlin Schmidt. Hey, Caitlin.
Hey, Bill.
Caitlin, former Arizona Daily Star reporter, won many awards, including the 2019 Arizona Sports Writer of the Year by the National Sports Media Association for her ongoing coverage of gender-based violence in the University of Arizona Athletic Department. She's now the editor and co-founder of Tucson Spotlight, a news email newsletter, a news service launched last year with another former star reporter, Susan Barnett. And the good news, you guys continue to grow, and now you're up for finalists for a pretty big award from kind of the National Online News Publishing Group.
That's right.
Tell us a little bit about that real quickly.
Yes, we are one of three finalists for the Local Independent Online News Publishers New Business of the Year. There were a couple hundred applicants, and this is part of their Sustainability Awards. So we're very excited.
Very good. We'll keep our fingers crossed for you. Other media partners, TucsonSentinel.com, Dylan Smith, Jim Ninsel and their team over there, big supporters of our work, and Dan Shear, Green Valley News, and Saharita Sun. 4th of July is such a difficult time for our pets. Pima Animal Care Center is full of dogs looking for homes with the 4th of July and a potential influx of lost dogs just around the corner. The shelters taking a preemptive move by trying to find foster and adoptive families for dogs in need. Here's the deal. PACC is aiming to foster homes for 100 large dogs to create some kennel space ahead of the holiday through July 9th. PAC is offering a $5 a day stipend up to 14 days to anyone who fosters a dog that weighs 40 plus pounds. Foster dogs will also go home with food, toys, and calming aids for the holiday. The stipend is generously supported or provided by the Friends of Pima Animal Care Center. Former Tucson City Councilman Steve Kasachek, who is the director of Pima Animal Care Center, is on the live line. Hey, Steve, how are you?
I'm doing really well. How are you doing, Bill?
Doing real well. So this is kind of a preemptive move. You obviously will be getting a large influx. What's going on? What's the view here before we launch into the very difficult week for not only dogs and cats and a lot of people? Some of our veterans don't like all the fireworks going off, Steve Kasachek.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. Kind of backing into the answer, back in the day in my former life, there were conversations about trying to get bans on concussive fireworks. There are fireworks that just go up in the sky and, you know, make their, you know, the visuals, give the visuals, but without the explosions. And a lot of veterans groups who were very supportive of that initiative. It didn't has not gone anywhere in the state legislature at this point. And so what we have is it is legal to sell fireworks within city limits, and it is not legal to shoot off fireworks that leave the ground. You're thinking Roman candles and those things, but people do. You know, I mean, no one's naive about it. You know, people do, and so in the week run-up to the 4th of July, which is coming next week, we will begin to see an influx of animals, dogs primarily, because people tend to start celebrating the 4th a couple of days before the actual holiday. We will see anywhere from 250 to 300 plus dogs come into the shelter the following week, but that actually begins late next week. The 4th of July is Friday. We'll start seeing dogs come in on Wednesday and Thursday. So you correctly mentioned that we are offering a $5 stipend for people to foster animals, large dogs. We have roughly 525 dogs in the shelter right now. If we assume that we can co-house maybe 50% of the animals that we bring in, the shelter was built to house about 350. So we're a couple hundred dogs over capacity right now. So grateful to Friends of PAC for helping to fund the stipend, but it's not going to solve the problem. We know we're going to get an influx of animals. I want to give our thanks to the City Department of Transportation and Mobility for donating a couple of those message board signs that you see outside construction sites. Mm-hmm. They donated two of them to us that have been up all week and will be up throughout next week. Advertising free microchipping, which we're also offering here at the shelter through the July 3rd, that you can bring the animal in, get it microchipped, and if it does run away, people can find the owner. So that's one of the things that the signs are advertising, and the other is simply the reminder to folks that dogs run away on 4th of July, and so take precautions now or plan ahead. And by that I mean if you've got a dog, keep it inside on the 4th of July. You know the fireworks are going to go off in your neighborhood. People just set off firecrackers or M80s, and it'll spook your dog, and you may wind up losing it. I'll give you an anecdotal story. I was here last Saturday, here being PAC. I was here at PAC last Saturday, and a lady drove up and led a St. Bernard out the back end of her car, and it was a stray, and so we immediately brought the guy in to try and checked him for a microchip, and he was not chipped. So here now we have a 145-pound St. Bernard in the middle of this summer heat that somebody had not thought ahead to chip so that we couldn't find the owner.
Wow.
Thankfully, the conclusion is that the guy got adopted. He's leaving here today with a new family. But that's just an example as to why it is critical. 57%, roughly 57%. Of the dogs that we take in are strays, and fewer than 20% of them are microchipped.
All right.
So take advantage of this free offer.
Let's bring in Caitlin Schmidt. Go ahead, Caitlin.
Hi, Steve. So there's been some pretty compelling evidence, I think, that dogs have a much better chance of being reunited with their owners if they stay in the neighborhood. What are you advising that the public do if they find a stray dog post 4th of July or in the days leading up?
Absolutely. That is a great point. And so, yes, dogs that are picked up are often picked up within a mile of their home. And so if you're on Nextdoor, if you've got a neighborhood listserv, if you can post on Petco Love Lost, if you've got a neighborhood or if you're in an HOA, they've got a newsletter, they've got a way to reach out to neighbors to say, hey, if you lost your pup, it's here in my house. The first thing to not do is to immediately put it in the back of your car and bring it out to PAC, because now it's 5 miles away from
yes.
home instead of 1 mile, and it may or may not be microchipped.
Yeah.
And so if it winds up out here, it's not likely to want. Well, we're not going to release it, obviously, but it's more likely to be found within the neighborhood than if you put it in your car and bring it out to us. So I'm glad you brought that up, Caitlin. It's a really important point.
So, Steve Kasachek, you served on the council for a long time. What is the hesitancy, Steve, to the why do we still allow fireworks to be sold in the city of Tucson?
They're allowed by state law.
Oh.
The state legislature has preempted local jurisdictions from banning the sale of fireworks.
Okay.
And so we can put in place, local jurisdictions can put in place restrictions on the what people can shoot off. And so Tucson, with working with Tucson Fire and some of the surrounding fire districts, we have a ban on shooting off fireworks that actually leave the ground, and that's what I was saying, like Roman candles or things that go vertical. So people can shoot off the firecrackers, they can, you know, the sparklers are totally fine. But as you mentioned in the run up, we haven't had rain in forever.
Yeah.
And hopefully July 2nd and 3rd and 4th we get a little bit of precipitation. But we are just the poster child right now for brush fires,
mm-hmm.
And you know the shooting fireworks off in the conditions that we are in right now. Setting aside the impact on veterans, setting aside the impact on dogs, is not what the fire districts need right now. It's
right.
The last thing they need.
All right, we're going to keep you around, Steve Kasachek, for segment number two. We've got a really busy hour. We've just confirmed that Nancy Gutierrez, the assistant minority leader, will be joining us at the bottom of the hour. She's up at the legislature where they did come up with a budget, and apparently they are ready to close it down, the 2025 session, but we'll hear what Nancy has to say. Steve, stick around, we'll get some more comments from you about Pima Animal Care. Let's take a break, the first break on the Friday Buckmaster Show.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com. Vero Amore, where every certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore is located in the lovely Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell. Also, check out the full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamorepizza.com. The Regional Transportation Authority invests over $100 million annually in transportation improvements in the greater Tucson region based on public input. The RTA and its regional partners deliver roadway, transit, safety, pedestrian, bicycle, environmental, and other needed improvements to meet the demands of transportation network users over a 20-year period. Learn more about the economic and quality of life benefits of the RTA's 2006 voter-approved plan and flexible funding at rtamobility.com.
Travel is in my DNA. When I'm ready to start another adventure, my trip begins and ends at our local airport, Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. TUS, where it's made easy to fly. Start planning now for your next air adventure by visiting flytucson.com.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
The Green Valley News and Sarita's Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The News and Sun's media reach 75% of the region through newspapers, websites, social media, video, newsletters, and more. They also produce more than a dozen print and digital magazines annually for an audience of 70,000. Find them at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita's Sun, covering your hometown.
All right, busy Friday as usual on the Buckmaster Show. Our hour goes just like that. Steve Kasachik is with us on the live line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Steve is the former Tucson City Councilman who since January has been the director of Pima Animal Care Center. Caitlin Schmidt is here from Tucson Spotlight. Caitlin, why don't you begin the questioning?
Yeah, so it seems like the shelter has been at or above critical capacity for a couple years now. What is the situation like with euthanizing dogs for space? And are you all bringing in some new ideas, trying some new solutions to try to alleviate the situation?
Yes, to all of that, other than euthanizing for space. We're not doing it for space. So that's great points. We, as I mentioned in the first segment, PAC was built to house roughly 235 dogs. If you figure that about half of them can be co-housed, now we're up to about 350. Our census today is 545.
Wow.
Which is unacceptable. And now we are essentially, Caitlin, we are playing the hand that the community has dealt us. We have a community that does not spay and neuter. They don't confine animals. We have strays all over the community. They don't microchip their animals. They don't vaccinate their animals. By they, I mean largely. And if what I'm saying were not the case, then we wouldn't be sitting here with a 500-plus census. I ran the numbers on euthanizing. We have some volunteers out here who are upset that they believe that they are messaging that I was only sent out here to start culling the herd and killing dogs. When I showed up out here, we had a census of about 450. Now it's about 550. So if that was the purpose of me coming out here, I'm doing a pretty lousy job of it. What we are, because we see the trajectory continuing to go up. I ran the numbers comparing 2024 to 2025. We have put down roughly 173 more dogs this year for medical reasons than we did last year, and about 75 more for behavioral reasons. I've shared on Bill's show before that my belief is that we have a three-pronged obligation. I have a three-pronged obligation as the director. Number one is for the humane treatment of the animals. Number two is to the safety of the staff and volunteers who work out here. And number three is to the safety of the public. As far as the humane treatment of the animals is concerned, jamming a dog into a kennel for 3, 4, 5 months at a time or longer, in my opinion, is not necessarily a humane way to treat that animal. We have right now over 50 dogs that have been in the shelter for over 100 days.
Oh, boy.
If we put them all down today, we would still be at 500. So that's not a solution. It's not simply looking at length of stay and check a box when it hits a certain amount of time and put the dog down. So we do a significant behavioral analysis. We look at the medical history and the current medical condition of the dog. We look at the history in terms of how has it been out before? Has it been out and back? If it has a bite history, what were the conditions? Was it provoked? Was it, you know, a lot of different factors. We're also looking at kennel stress. A dog can begin to show kennel stress after 2 weeks, not two months. And so we do that full analysis in terms of the humane treatment of the animals. Secondly, I'm looking at the safety of the staff and the volunteers. And we have seen an increase in bites out here when staff or volunteers are moving dogs from one kennel to another. And the reason for that quite simply is kennel stress. And so we're looking at ways to expand the size of some of the kennels. I was just meeting this week with our members of our planning and design and construction team, looking at areas out here where we can co-house 5 or 6 dogs instead of just 2. Hmm. And the reason for that is to give them, it'll be more of a play yard effect and to show how to help them socialize better. And finally, the safety of the public. If a dog has a significant bite history, those represent the increase of 76 behavioral euthanizations we've done year over year from 24 to 25. We also have a community group called PACAC, Pima Animal Care Advisory Committee. And 8 weeks ago, two monthly meetings ago, brought to them the issue of census and how are we going to address this increase in census, because it's not sustainable. And they formed a subcommittee. They met for six consecutive weeks, and I was a part of that, and we had PAC staff meet with their subcommittee. And the conclusion they came up with is that it's a question of financing and staffing. And I will say that I've shared this with county leadership, is that I know that the voters approved roughly $20 million bond about 8 years ago, and PAC was the new PAC, in air quotes, was built. And I think people kind of brushed their hands and said, okay, that problem is solved, and now we're moving on to the next issue. It's not solved. And, you know, we have roughly 1,500 Animal Protection Service cases right now that are on backlog because we have so many calls every day. Over 50 of those are hoarding cases. We have significant bites out in the community. And so we are wrestling with a community problem. And frankly, we're not alone. The situation exists at every open admission shelter, municipal shelter, virtually in the country. And we are responsible. We are the only open admission shelter responsible for the 9,200 square miles of Pima County. And so we're doing what we can. I am going to continue to work with PACAC on various solutions. One that I have done is I've distributed some microchip scanners to City of Tucson Parks Department, so that if somebody does find a stray, they can get it scanned at the City of Tucson Parks admin building in the middle of Reed Park and not have to bring it out to PAC. Roadhouse Cinemas is working with me on that. Quincy Douglas Community Center out on the southwest side, same thing. So, you know, we're trying to frame some out-of-the-box thinking in terms of how we're dealing with this. We formed a volunteer unit that's going, in fact, they were out in some parks this morning educating people on leash laws. Again, not to come through with a heavy hand, but to educate people. Put your dog on a leash. It's the safety of the public. It's the safety of your dog. And we don't need it at PAC as a stray.
All right. Steve Kasachek, before we let you go, and we do have Nancy Gutierrez talking about wrapping up the legislative session. That's going to be in the second half hour. But we need to talk a little bit, Steve Kasachek, about a new nonprofit, low-cost veterinary clinic that just had the grand opening on Tuesday.
Friends at PAC, it's called the Friends Pet Clinic. It's located two blocks south of Glen on First Avenue. If you have any dog or cat that's been adopted from PAC, you're eligible immediately for low-cost veterinary care. And we find that one of the challenges people have to adoption is the question about veterinary care. And so we're really grateful that Friends of PAC has opened their low-cost shelter. And if you've got an animal from PAC, you can go in there and you're eligible for services.
Do you make an appointment? Is it a walk-in service, Steve Kasachek?
Yeah, they would prefer that you call and make an appointment. It's a busy place, as you can imagine. Mm-hmm. They're open every day of the week, and they're very happy to take people over the phone and set up appointments for them.
So if that's one of the bonuses, right, of adopting from PAC, you will have access to this clinic.
That's right. And we let all of our adopters know that when they're considering whether or not to walk out the adoptions lobby with a dog or a cat, that this is a benefit to come into PAC to adopt an animal. And we really encourage people to do that. As Caitlin was asking about, our census is 545 dogs and 109 cats today. You know, so come on out here. Help us to relieve the kennel stress. Help us to get these animals into forever homes, because we know that those numbers are going to go up in about 7 days.
And final word about the 4th of July, please, Steve Kasachek.
4th of July, we are hosting an event out here from 6 to 8 p.m. Bark and Berry and the Tucson Veterinary Urgent Care Clinic are sponsoring. We are inviting the public to come out here, read to the dogs, help decompress the dogs, give them some dog ice cream, and instead of shooting off fireworks in your backyard, come out to PAC from 6 to 8 p.m. on the 4th of July and take care of the dogs instead of sending them out into the neighborhood as a stray.
Wonderful idea. Steve Kasachek, thank you for what you're doing to try to help with our animal welfare issues. Steve, thanks a lot. Hope you have a great 4th of July.
You too. Take care of yourself.
Thanks a lot, Steve Kasachek. In our first half hour, our Friday Focus interview, the second half hour, we've got Nancy Gutierrez on the live line. Nancy's going to give us an update. I think the legislature is now officially closed up shop, and we will not have, thank goodness, the first shutdown of Arizona services in the state's history. Nancy Gutierrez will be coming up right after we take the mid-show break. Caitlin Schmidt also sticks around from Tucson Spotlight. As usual, a very busy Friday on the Buckmaster Show.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com.
Are you ready to immerse yourself in a diverse culture while wandering through bustling markets, sampling exotic cuisines, or forging connections with people from all walks of life? Well, Bon Voyage Travel is here to plan your perfect journey. Whether you're setting off on a solo expedition, embarking on a group adventure, or simply dreaming of far-off destinations, we can help create your custom experience. The road ahead is filled with endless possibilities. Visit bvtravel.com to find your specialized Bon Voyage Travel advisor today.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Thing, Zocalo Village Studios. When we do our telephone interviews at 790-2040, the live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. If you think I'm reading fast because we've got a lot going on today on the program, thanks to Steve Kasachek in the first half hour talking about how they are trying to take a kind of preemptive move here to get some of the dogs into foster before the 4th of July. So they're trying to, you know, get a handle on that situation. Caitlin Schmidt is here from the newly honored the Tucson Spotlight. Her project has now a finalist for kind of the newcomer of the year in online media. So we congratulate her. And we've got Nancy Gutierrez, the Assistant Minority Leader of the Arizona House, with us on the live line from Phoenix. Hey, Nancy, is it over? That's my first question.
Well, unfortunately, no, not quite yet, Bill. The Senate is still voting each of the 17 budget bills, but I expect that it will be over hopefully soon, and then we will sine die.
So tell us what happened yesterday with this negotiated bipartisan budget that passed the House 40 to 16 with 40 abstentions. This would not have been possible without you and your colleagues supporting it.
That is true. And so yesterday we voted on all of the bills, and we had waived the three-day rule in order to do that. So we have a three-day rule where bills come in and they cannot be voted on in less than 3 days. So that would have been midnight last night. We waived those rules, so we, Committee of the Whole, cowed all of the bills to have the amendments on that were negotiated with the House Republicans and us and the governor. Once those were added, then we flipped them to third read, and we all voted them, and we had a record number of Democratic votes, which I am extremely proud of, because this was a budget that was negotiated with the House Democrats, and that hasn't happened necessarily in a while. So we got a ton of wins, and I am thrilled that we are getting this for the people of Arizona.
Was this to those that were trying to go with the, quote, skinny budget, was this to embarrass you and the Democrats and the governor and possibly maybe send it into the first government shutdown in Arizona history?
Absolutely, Bill. That was the goal, to make the governor look bad. I don't know why they thought it would make her look bad to veto two really horrible budgets that would hurt families. I mean, their budget did not fully fund education. It didn't fund the universities at all. As a matter of fact, universities would have had to cut major cuts in their budgets. It didn't fund access. It would have raised healthcare premiums for every single state employee in the state. There were no roads funded. There were no DPS raises or firefighter raises. They are in this negotiated budget. I mean, it just decimated the agencies and the people of Arizona. I think the vetoes made our governor look incredible. She stood strong. She knew that her team and us would get this done, and that's exactly what we did. I was jokingly, but not jokingly, saying that yet again, as in DD, this was a great example of not letting the men be in charge, because they just let their egos guide them. And this wasn't about ego. This is about serving our communities.
All right. Let's bring in Caitlin Schmidt from Tucson Spotlight. Go ahead, Caitlin.
So this budget includes some pretty strong protections for working families. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes, it really, really does. I mean, there is money for civil legal aid so that workers can sue predatory corporations. This creates Homes for Heroes, which wants to put an end to veteran homelessness. We have our very first investment in the Community College Promise Program, and so that will be full-ride scholarships for students who qualify on a need basis to go to community colleges for free. Free school meals. I mean, that has been my absolute baby since I got here. So all students who qualify for reduced and free lunches and breakfasts will have them free. Full funding for access, and that means full funding with no terrible language for our DDD communities. I could keep going. There's $15 million for DES coordinated homelessness services. Let's see.
How about for teachers?
Well, teachers. K-12 got a 2% raise because that's in statute, but teacher pay will come. We need to pass Prop 123, but that was a bad deal, so we managed to stop that. But teachers will have schools to teach in because we got the poverty weights and we got the district additional assistance weights. So schools are fully funded. K-12 schools are fully funded with this budget.
Caitlin,
Teachers Academy. Teachers Academy in the universities has an extra $9 million above the base. And then the Promise Program in our universities got an extra $34 million above the base.
A couple of your colleagues, the Sisters Hernandez, state lawmakers, they are not all happy. They're not happy with this budget. They specifically point out funding continues for school vouchers and immigration enforcement that was part of the package.
Yes. So I'll speak to the school vouchers first. With a Republican majority in the House and the Senate, vouchers are a very difficult legislation to move on because not one Republican is going to budge on that. And we are not in the majority. So while we did fight for voucher reform, we did not win it. And that is disappointing, but it is no reason to disparage this good budget. And as far as the get 'em language is concerned, it is terrible, offensive language. And it is also language that has been in the budget since 2003 and has been voted on affirmatively by many of the people in both sides of the caucus that say they don't like this budget. They've already voted for this several times. I haven't. And we have assurances not only from Governor Hobbs, but from the agency director that these monies, since they've been in office, have never been spent on mass deportation, and they never will be. To further that, there were millions of dollars in an ICE line item. So a line item that would have allowed local agents, local police departments to become reimbursed for ICE expenses. And we zeroed that out, Bill. So that money is no longer there. This budget has $0 for ICE, and it has $0 for mass deportation. I'm proud of that.
Here's Caitlin Schmidt.
So we are in a very long, hot summer already and just had our first heat wave here in Tucson. And I think homelessness is on the front of everyone's mind right now. What are we seeing in the budget in terms of programs for homelessness prevention and support?
Yes, we secured, I've got 10 minutes. We secured $19 million to address homelessness, the homelessness crisis, and provide Arizonans on the brink of eviction with rental assistance, utility assistance, and $2 million for that Homes for Heroes. So we specifically looked at what would help people with immediate need, and over $15 million is in the budget to do so.
There some things were cut out that you and your colleagues found very offensive, like make the attorney general and county attorneys get permission from the legislature before filing election-related lawsuits.
Right. Yeah, we managed to get a lot of offensive things out of this budget. And I have to credit Governor Katie Hobbs and her entire budget staff. I am telling you what, Director Ben Henderson is a fierce negotiator, and I have learned so much, not to mention our very own House staff. I mean, Bill, being at the table this year of the budget negotiations, I have learned so very much, and I have seen people who care about Arizonans fight for them, and it makes me very proud.
Mm-hmm. And again, getting back to Medicaid, that cut would have been $40 million if it had gone through, correct?
Well, Medicaid is, we could still see Medicaid cuts because those cuts may be coming from the federal side, but we funded access completely 100% fully funded, including our health care and including the DDD and Parents with Paid Caregivers program. Absolutely. Oh, and we were able to get $45 million in child care assistance to cut the wait list by 50% and give quality providers an enhancement rate. And then we got $3 million for child care programs for after school care. So that's unprecedented money to help our families who really need help with rising costs.
All right. Did I hear you said that there was like a bell that went off that gives you, what, 10 minutes?
I'm part of the committee that is going to get the Senate's sine-die motion, and then we give the Senate our sine-die motion. So,
how does that work when you just adjourn? That's like...
Well, so it's more than an adjournment. We recessed last night so we could come back this morning. The Senate is going to sine-die, which means we're done doing any business. That's it. And they send a committee of members over here. The House has to accept their sine-die, and then we send members to them, and they accept our sine-die. And then the session is over, and we can go home and be with our families, and the governor will sign, they will transmit the budget bills up to the governor, and she will sign them at some point today.
Okay, and as I recall, and I've been, as they say, Nancy, I didn't get off the bus yesterday. I can't remember in recent times going this down to the wire. It's been a few years, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, we were beginning of June last year. The year before, I think, was May, but we did not sine die. Mm. So we were still technically in session all summer. Oh. This is what you're supposed to do.
Okay. Nancy Gutierrez, thank you very much. Have a great summer. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you, Bill. Take care.
Thank you. Nancy Gutierrez, Assistant Minority Leader, getting ready to close up the shop up in Phoenix. All right. We're going to continue here for about five more minutes with segment number three, then of segment number four. I think we have Ken Carr from our sister station, 101.7, The Drive. We'll talk about Weekend Watch, but let's now talk a little bit with Caitlin. Caitlin, I know you're following, we all are following this so-called Project Blue. It just gets weirder and weirder.
Boy, does it. Yeah. Yeah. And this is clearly not the end of it either.
No. And I have it with me here in my stack of stuff. Nikki Lee, Tucson City Council person, who has quite an extensive background in technology. She put out a kind of, let's see, it was over 2,000 word essay on the subject. She's got some real concerns about Project Blue. So I'm curious how the city council, which has to sign off to make this thing a reality, the county has signed off by a vote of 3-2. I don't think contractually, from what I've heard, they can kind of readdress it. So it'll be up to the city if they want to kill this thing.
Yeah, and I guess then it's up to see if the city wants to listen to the community. There were not a lot of people speaking at the Board of Supervisors meeting in support of Project Blue.
No.
Most people had some serious concerns about the environmental impact.
I think the community is very worried about this. Not only, you said the environmental, let's kind of bring folks up to date here who have not been following this. This Project Blue would open the door to up to, I don't know, what Nikki Lee said, there's even rumors it could be like 20 data processing centers. It would start with a couple, but who knows, would grow. And these centers, one thing they do, they use a lot of power and they use a lot of water.
Yep, and they don't employ a lot of real human beings either. So they're not bringing a lot of jobs to the area.
Yeah.
I mean, and there's a pretty big non-disclosure agreement attached to this, which is really concerning from a public standpoint.
Yeah, and the city will have to, the way this would work, the county gives their blessing, which they have by a 3-2 vote. Dr. Matt Hines, who will be my guest on Monday, will obviously be getting into this. He'd like the vote reconsidered, whether or not that's going to be possible. It may not be because of the contract. But the city then would annex the land. So it is now up to the city. And I understand this will not happen until August. So community reaction continues to kind of build in a negative way. It's kind of what I'm feeling. What are you hearing?
Yeah, nobody seems real happy about this. As if we didn't have enough things for people to be protesting about these days.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, we are a community that loves and protects its nature and natural resources. And this was kind of a weird move, I think, to bring to the table. You know, Tucson prides itself on being in a much better situation water-wise than Phoenix. So I don't know why we would open the door to something like this.
Yeah, and I know there would have to be a pipeline 12, 14 miles to the data processing centers. And then TEP didn't win a bunch of friends. While the Board of Supervisors were considering this, TEP puts out a news release saying there would be a 14% increase. They are asking for a 14% increase.
Yeah.
And even though TEP says that is not related to what was going on with Project Blue, the optics are really horrible.
Especially in a time when a portion of the community is already calling on the city to end their relationship with TEP. It was kind of a weird move. With the franchise agreement still in play. And so I don't, yeah, I don't know.
And I just got a note from the chair of the Pima County Board of Supervisors, Chairman Rex Scott. Reconsideration is not on the Board of Supervisors agenda for this Tuesday, so they're not going to be talking about it.
Thank you, Supervisor Scott,
for letting us know about that. So, Caitlin Schmidt, again, how do people find out more about what you are doing at Tucson Spotlight?
Yep, we are at TucsonSpotlight.org. We do not have a paywall, but you can sign up for a free subscription, and you'll get a daily newsletter every morning, and then a newsletter on Sunday with a recap of our stories and some community events.
So you and Susan put this together. How did you think when this, you know, we put this together last year, the thoughts about this deal, how has it evolved? Has it evolved the way you would kind of your mission and in line with what you thought or what?
Yeah, it's definitely evolved. Before we were even up and running, we had heard from the University of Arizona Journalism School that was looking to place interns, and we quickly learned that
That was serendipitous.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know that I was necessarily ready to oversee a team of 14, but I'm doing it now. But yeah, there is a real need for a space for students to get published, to seek mentorship. So right now we have, I think, 8 interns, 9, and we're working with some freelancers. So, you know, initially we just wanted to put out good locally produced news that spotlighted kind of undercover topics and communities. But now we really also want to serve as a place where new and emerging journalists can get that experience and get that support and, you know, spread their wings and fly on off to bigger and better things when they're ready.
Okay. And just to be fair, listener Michael wanted me to point out that he takes issue that there was not support at the Board of Supervisors meetings. He said he watched the meeting and there were a lot of contractors, union organizations, and others that support the project, so they did not have to leave town to work. So there you go.
All right.
That's going to wrap it up. Segment number 3 coming up next, Weekend Watch with 101.7 The Drive. Caitlin Schmidt, thank you very much. Caitlin, I hope you have a great Independence Day weekend, and I hope your pets stay safe and relatively calm.
That's right.
All right. Take a break. Ken Carr is waiting in the wings from 101.7 The Drive.
Located in the heart of Arizona wine country, about an hour south of Metro Tucson, Flying Leap Estate Vineyards Winery and Distillery Facilities are one of the most beautiful wine venues in the southwestern United States. Come relax and unwind at our spacious property and learn about Arizona grape viticulture and winemaking from our team of trained sommeliers and discover the intricacies of the art of distillation. Learn more at flyingleapvineyards.com. The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan is funded by a half-cent sales tax through June 2026. The funding has led to a $1.6 billion investment in regional transportation improvements over the past two decades to improve your quality of life. The RTA is working on a final draft of a new regional transportation plan for future voter consideration. The $2.46 billion draft plan includes roadway, transit, safety, bicycle, pedestrian, environmental, and other needed improvements. Learn more at rtanext.com.
This is your captain speaking. Thank you for flying with Tucson International Airport, where you can avoid the hassles, long lines, and the expensive parking of the Phoenix Airport. Skip the traffic, breeze through security, and park with ease, all while supporting your community. Every flight from TUS brings more destinations and better connections right here to Tucson. So next time you're planning a getaway, remember, fly easy, fly local, fly TUS. This is your captain signing off. We're cleared for takeoff.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com. All right, time for Weekend Watch with 101.7 The Drive, presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Start planning a cool getaway in an enchanting place. That's Silver City and Grant County. After all, they are in the land of enchantment. That's New Mexico, only about a three-hour drive east of Tucson. 80 degrees. Nice afternoon right now over in Silver City. You can start your planning to do a lot of fun hiking in the Gila National Wilderness or just hanging out in historic Silver City. Check out their website, southwestnewmexico.org, and you will have a great weekend getaway in the land of enchantment. Ken Carr is here. Ken's the birthday boy. Ken, we've been celebrating your birthday, it seems like, for days here at the station, and it's really not until next week.
Well, I'm still hoping that at some point it's going to become a national holiday.
Well, yeah. I mean that...
The president will sign one of his little executive orders and away we go, right?
And you brought in some of the cake from last night's event, and wow.
Was it good?
Very good cake. I've already had two pieces.
Oh, all right.
Anyway, what's going on this weekend? Anything cool?
Well, one of the things that I thought was kind of interesting is that, you know, sometimes it's hard to take your pet to things, besides like a dog park or whatever. But this is an event that you can take your dog to. They have a night ops at the Pima Air and Space Museum, and it's actually a co-branded event where you can go to both the Pima Air and Space Museum and Tucson Military Vehicle Museum with one price for a wristband. And they do themes each week, and the one that is coming up tomorrow night is Gone to the Dogs. You can bring your dog to the Pima Air and Space Museum.
On a leash, presumably.
Yeah, probably, and I think it would be good for the dog to learn something about our military history, right?
Yes.
So you'll have a smarter dog by the time you're finished.
I'm sure there'll be dog water pans all over the place.
That's going on from 5 to 8:30 at the Pima Air and Space Museum. Loft Cinema Kids Fest, this is the last weekend for this, where at 10 a.m. on tomorrow morning as well as Sunday morning, the you can take the kids and go see a free movie. Tomorrow morning's movie is Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Mm.
And Moana Sing Along is coming up on Sunday morning, and those are both at 10 a.m. at the Lost Cinema on Speedway.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what else. Also, there's a couple night markets. These are becoming more and more popular in the Tucson area. Old Tucson is doing one. That's coming up tomorrow night from 6 to 9:30. Local vendors and food and live music and, of course, all the bars and restaurants, et cetera, that are open at Old Tucson. And also one at the Mercado San Agustin Annex. And that goes from 6 to 10, over 65 vendors at that event.
Hmm.
So if you'd like to just do a little...
Kind of makes sense, doesn't it, in the summer, a night event like that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything we can find where we're not completely standing in the scorching sun is a beautiful thing, I think.
Yeah, maybe we'll get a little rain early next week. Anyway, Ken Carr, hope you have a great weekend and a birthday. Happy birthday in advance.
Thank you, Bill.
All right, the Buckmaster Show, a presentation of Bill Buckmaster. Communications LLC, wholly responsible for the content of our program. Thanks, Tom Fairbanks, our engineer producer, Ken Carr, and all of us here at Bustos Media, all of us pretty much the same wish for you every Friday afternoon, and that is be safe, have a great weekend.